may not be long until we get to go. We're so blessed tonight to have Brother Robert Jones with us, his wife Lisa, and the kids here. Yeah. We're so excited about this. We've been looking forward to it a long time. Brother Robert, come on up here, please. And I don't tell you enough, I appreciate you. When he got saved, the old sanctuary, God just put a special touch on him. Then he got called to preach at Camp Zion, I believe.
I did, yes, sir.
And he's been four square for God ever since. God let him leave here and go get some good training so he could do great things for us. Wherever I go, I find people that says, you watched your preaching and services on the internet, what a blessing that is. And many of you and myself, when we're away, we get to watch that. God has given Brother Robert that talent to set us up. And it's not cost us a penny. Most, if we had to pay for that, I'm not sure we could. But thank God that he has purposed in his heart to give us that technology. And even this morning, someone was here that told me they've been watching your services on the internet. And we get emails from Africa, missionaries, that says, use your preaching to go around and teach other preachers in Africa. What a blessing that is. And that's just a small thing that we know. What about all the hundreds and perhaps thousands that we don't know about? But somebody's keeping the record. And we're not saying all this to make him feel good or pass on the back, but God does use people if they're usable. And we appreciate you, Brother Robert. You've been usable.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Love you, brother. Amen. Well, it sure is good to be here tonight. And I've been looking forward to this all week ever since he's asked me to come the last Sunday night. And boy, it's been exciting. And I've been praying. And if you could kill these monitors up here, I'm going to kill myself with these monitors if you don't mind. Are the monitors on? Can you bring them down just a little bit? And then I'm going to tell the sound room, I'm in Genesis 46. I know you're supposed to tell them before you get up here. And I did not do that, but it sure is good to be here. We appreciate the goodness of God and all that he does. And we'd ask that you'd continue to pray for my family and I as we have endeavored I knew it over a year ago. God allowed me to, I've surrendered to it back in March of 2013 in my prayer closet about surrendering full-time to evangelism. And when I did that, he said, that's great, but you can't tell nobody. And I'll tell you, it's been a long year, and I've held on to that. I was, of course, my wife knew what God was doing. And of course, others, I had the liberty to tell three other people. God says, you can tell them, and that's it. And I told them, and then in February of this year, God has allowed me to make that public, that we were surrendering full-time into evangelism. And our calendar has pretty much been full all year. We've been preaching about every weekend. This month's a little bit slow, but July we pick right back up. In August we're picking right back up. And starting out into October, we'll be gone probably about 3 weeks in October, be in Kentucky, South Dakota, probably planning on making a trip into Wyoming. And then in November, we'll be in Florida. And then in December, Lord willing, if God will provide, we'll be heading to South America. So we're excited about that. I would ask that you'd pray about that and put that on your prayer list, that God would continue to open doors for us. And that is my desire, is just to go. And I can taste it. I want it so bad. And I know this probably sounds funny. I was telling a man of God the other day, I says, is it bad that you can just taste it? I said, that's where I'm at. And I'm 42 years old. That's how old I am. And in 3 score and 10... that's what the Bible says. So if you live to be 70, I've got 28 years of my life left. If the Lord don't come back, I expect him to come back before 28 years. The way that this whole world's turning upside down and all the stuff that's coming together in the Middle East and all that in Iraq and Iran, Russia wanting Ukraine, there's a reason why they want Ukraine. And it's not just so they can claim it, but they're wanting to get a little closer to Israel. Well, we better pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's biblical. But more each and every day, we need to pray for it, because why would you do that? Well, number one, I want the blessings of God on my life. Amen. God says, if you'll curse them, I'm going to curse you. Lord, would you bless your people today? And we need the blessings of God upon us, and the blessings of God is being taken off this country. And I read Fox News every morning when I get up. And the only reason I really read it is just to see if they attacked Israel. And that's really about the only reason I do that. The other part of it, Fox News, I care less. But all the stuff that's going on and the way it's pointing up in the Middle East and what they're going after, a little piece of ground, that's what it's about. And so I'm looking forward to the imminent return of Christ. And I told the Lord the other day, what you want for me to do, Lord, we need to do it quickly. Because I've got an urgency within my heart more than I ever had. I had it last year. But when 2014 rolled around, it seemed like God just put that burden a little bit more on me. And I says, Lord, I want to go. And I want to go. And I'm grateful that I've got a wife and some children that are behind me 100%. And whatever God sends us to do is not, do we got to go, Daddy? It's like, where do we get to go, Daddy? And so there's an excitement. I appreciate my children. And I appreciate my wife, Lisa. And we've been married 20 years this year. She's getting a martyr's crown. Amen. I'm telling you, she has lived a rough life with me. But no, I love my wife, and I appreciate her tolerating me the way she does, because I'm a little stubborn. And don't say amen, honey. It'll reverberate in this room, and I don't want everybody to hear that. But it's good to be with you. Genesis chapter number 46, Genesis chapter number 46 and verse number 1, Genesis 46 verse number 1. We're going to read right at about 7 verses, and I'm going to preach a thought that the Lord's laid on my heart. And I'm praying it'll be a help to you. I've got people praying about this meeting tonight. I had some folks called me just before I walked in. Preacher, we're praying for you. And so this is, people are praying that God will help us here tonight. Genesis chapter number 46, and those that can and will, if y'all wouldn't mind standing to the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. And if you're not able, I understand. You don't feel obligated if you're not able. Genesis 46, verse number 1. And it says, and Israel took his journey with all that he had, and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he says, here am I. And he says, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Look at all these I wills. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we're thankful again for your mercy and your grace. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd settle us in here. And Lord, I'm thankful for the songs that we sung here tonight, and especially that one, Stand By Me. And Lord, I pray that you'd stand with us. And Lord, we know that the world is against us, but Lord, if you're for us, who could be against us? So Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that you'd touch our hearts and our minds here tonight. Lord, would you center us in? Lord, I know that if there's things out there, there's distractions. Lord, there's things to pull our minds and our hearts away for what you have for us here tonight. And Lord, I'd pray that you'd just put a hedge around us. Lord, I'd pray you'd have the preeminence here tonight, Lord, upon the message of your word. And Lord, I'm just your messenger. So Lord, I admit to you just one more time, I'm unable to do that what is set before me here tonight. But Lord, through you, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So Lord, I'd pray that you'd touch my heart, my mind, and my lips. Lord, touch my body. Lord, you know my frame and my state here tonight. And Lord, I pray we wouldn't do anything here that would quench or grieve the Holy Ghost. For Lord, you're welcomed here tonight. Lord, you're invited to meet with your people. And Lord, I pray that you'd touch your people and the hearts of your people here tonight. Do that which only you can do. Lord, if there's one lost among us here tonight, Lord, I'm praying that the Holy Ghost would convict that heart. For Lord, you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And Lord, that's all we're here to do, is lift up the name of Christ. Now, Lord, I pray you do everything that you can do. And Lord, we'll praise you and bless you for what you have done and what you will do. For we'd ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Y'all may be seated. And just in a way of just a background of this message, and of course getting into the context of this scripture, if we go back into Genesis chapter number 45, we'll see that Joseph has revealed himself unto his brothers. And he's come down, and of course he's given them, and he's met with them, he's wept on them. And verse number 16, of course, the fame went out of that Joseph's brothers in Egypt. And of course, all of Egypt was rejoicing with them, and Pharaoh was excited about that. And so we see that it was a joyous occasion. And of course, Pharaoh knew about Joseph's dad, and he says he give them all the wagons that they're going to need to go down and to get Jacob and all the provisions that it's going to take. And Joseph come down and he give them all the provisions for the way, and he give them, of course, that to Benjamin. He give them 5 changes of raiment, and also give them 300 pieces of silver, which I've never figured that out yet. But there was a reason for that, of why he give them 300 pieces of silver. I don't know what but Benjamin was going to buy on the way of getting Jacob, because they already had everything that they were going to have. And so they went down, and of course they've come, and they told Jacob that Joseph was alive. And Jacob, he didn't believe them at first. And would you? I mean, they've been telling him a lie for all these years, and they've known the truth about exactly what happened to Joseph, and that they threw him in the pit, and then of course they sold him into slavery. And they knew that, and they've been carrying that for all these years. And all of a sudden, they had to go back, and they had to reveal to their daddy that they've been lying to him all this time. And he says, I don't believe you. And even though they told him all the words of Joseph, and Jacob went out, and he saw all the wagons and all that, and it says, and Jacob was revived. And then the next verse, we see that he went from his fleshly name to his spiritual name. And it says in Israel, and he says in Israel, says it's enough. And can I tell you, God is enough. Amen, he is. And so he come down and he says, and Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And I'm going to preach a message on that. I've been studying on that. Things you need to do before you die. And he says, I'm going to go see Joseph before I die. And then we come down in Genesis chapter number 46 in verse number 1. And Israel, and it says, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father, Isaac. And I want to look at this thought tonight with this thought. And you're going to say, well, there's nothing mentioned about what you're fixing to preach on. But it is. And I want to look at this thought tonight. How to make it through a desert experience. How to make it through a desert experience. Now, Noah Webster's 1828 defines a desert as this. It's a barren or desolate area. It's a dry, often sandy region. A little rainfall, extreme temperatures, sparse vegetation, a region of permanent cold that is largely or entirely devoid of life. Sounds like Alaska, if you ask me. Apparently lifeless area of water, an empty or a forsaken place, a wasteland. And in this world that we live on, God has created 5 different deserts. And I don't have time. If I went in all these deserts, we'd be here till kingdom come. And I won't do that. I'll spare you all that. But we can see that there is that cold desert like Alaska, where you get above the Arctic Circle and it's just nothing but tundra. There's no trees. There's no vegetation. I mean, there's nothing growing up there. If you're going to plant a garden, you got to make a above garden up there. And there's nothing that really grows. And you dig 6 inches in the ground above the Arctic Circle, all you hit is ice. It's just a big permafrost. And boy, the day that God melts this whole earth, boy, Alaska's in trouble. Amen. It's going to flood them to death. That's all there is to that. And so we see that there's that cold. There's also that dry area. We've got those deserts that's over out in west. And you can go to Africa and there's no rain. Very little rainfall comes to these areas. It's hot. It's extreme temperatures. It's hot during the day, cold at night. I mean, you burn up during the day and you'll freeze to death at night. And there's those places that is just dry and desolate. And then there's those areas that see the rain. And they produce the rain, but they never have the rainfall. And there's times, and I got to witness this the other day at WGCR. And as I was sitting in the control room, I was filling in for Miss Christy Johnson. And all of a sudden, I was watching the radar that was to my left. And we got a little dot on that map that says this is where WGCR is at. I mean, it's got our latitude and our longitude. It's got the GPS coordinates of where we're at. And I got to watch something. I was really intrigued by it because I've been studying this message on deserts, where there's some places that will start a rainfall, but they'll never get one raindrop on top of them. I mean, all around WGCR, and that cloud was sitting right on top of us, and I kept saying,
You know, it's going to rain anytime, folks, here in Pisgah Forest. You might as well head on in. I said, it's a coming. I said, it's turned green. It's turned yellow. Now it's orange. And I was watching this storm, and it was sitting right on top of that radio station. And I kept looking out the window and kept watching. I said, it's going to rain anytime. Boy, did it make me out to be a liar. And I'm getting reminded of that. Oh, I listened to your weather forecast the other day, and did you know you lied? I says, I probably did. And I says, and that's the way it was. You see the rain. You can smell the rain. You can feel the temperatures drop when the rain came, and it was doing all that at that radio station, but we never received one drop of rain. And that the way it is in a lot of churches today, I mean, you're wanting the rain to fall and it seems like you can see it, you can smell it, you can just about taste it, but you never get one raindrop in here. And now we could go through this and it goes on. There's the arid, there's this, and there's that other kind of desert. And can I tell you that you will face a desert in your life? Everybody's going to face a desert. Either it's going to be cold and indifferent, either it's going to be hot, or it's going to be hot and cold, or it's going to look like it's going to rain, and it never does. Those are deserts that you're going to experience. And Jacob, Israel, says it took his journey, and he stopped off at Beersheba because what he was fixing to go through to get to Joseph, he was going to have to go through that desert. And he was about to face them dry conditions. He was about to face them hot conditions. But before he went through a desert experience, God gives us a formula out of his word for us as Christian Bible believers. He shows us how we can make it through these desert experiences. But can I tell you, it's very sad when I'm fixing to tell you that there's a lot of casualties in the deserts. And there's a reason why there's a lot of casualties in these deserts. There's a reason why we're losing our Christians one right after another, and they're falling out by the wayside, it seems like. And it's alarming to me, and I don't like it. Not one iota when I see somebody fall out of the Christian movement. I just can't stand to see somebody just fall out. But here we see that Joseph is fixing to go through this desert, and the first thing that you'll see Jacob do or Israel do is that he worships. He worships. He stops off at Beersheba. And of course, Beersheba is a very unique place. Abraham stopped off at Beersheba. Isaac stopped off at Beersheba. And all of a sudden, Jacob stopped off at Beersheba. And this is, I think, if I'm right in the Word of God, this is his second time that he stopped off here at Beersheba. And he come down here and he worshiped. And the word worship means this: chiefly or eminently, the act of paying a divine honor to a supreme being. Of course, that's God. Or the reverence or the homage paid to him in a religious exercise, consisting of adoration, confession, prayer, thanksgiving. Can I tell you what we're missing a lot of in our churches today? And I travel a lot. It's worship. It's worship. Boy, I remember, I mean, we would talk about how our forefathers would stand up and worship God. Hey, what's wrong with 2014 with worshiping God? I mean, he's the same God today, yesterday, and forever. Hey, he doesn't change one iota. And we see people that's quit worshiping God. And Noah Webster's 1828 gives us about five things that we need to do in our worship. The first thing he says, or one of the things he says, is thanksgiving. Boy, we got away from being thankful for what God has given us. Amen. I mean, I was preaching a revival in China Grove not too long ago, when Lisa and the girls were with me. It was on a Monday, and we preached that Sunday, and I was preaching that Monday night, and I was in the study of that prophet's chamber. And I was studying, trying to get ready for that night's message. And I was praying and I was studying. Lisa come in there and says, I hate to bother you, but she says, you really got to see this. I said, do what? She says, you really got to come look at this. And I said, all right. And so I went out there, and the house that was across the road, I mean, it was a man that was in there, and he had a wheelchair, and I was watching him. And he started to wheel that wheelchair down his sidewalk. And he had a prosthetic leg on this side, and he had a brace on his knee. His right arm didn't work. I mean, I was just watching this guy. I was very intrigued about what he was fixing to do. And he went down to the end of his sidewalk, which it wasn't very long. And he went there, and I says, well, what's he going to do? And all of a sudden, that man got up out of that wheelchair. I said, well, that's pretty intriguing. He's going to go get his mail. Not what he did. He only had one good arm, and he had two bad legs. And he was smiling from ear to ear. And all of a sudden, I was watching him. I said, you're not going to go do that, are you, sir? Because there was a push mower in his yard. And I got to watch him. I should have went and mowed his grass for him, but I got so intrigued by watching this man that he went up there with that one good arm. He reached down there, and sure enough, he said, boom. I mean, he's a mower. He cranked that mower up. I said, well, how's he going to do that with two bad legs, one bad arm that just frails like this. I mean, he had no control over it. And I says, what are you going to do with that mower, sir? So I kept watching him. And you know what he did? He mowed his grass. He did this. He went around in a circle. It wasn't that pretty crossover like your all's yard is here in the church. Or another church we were at or somewhere, it was all nice and pretty. I mean, it had stripes this way. It was here, right out there. Had stripes this way and stripes that way. This man was out there doing the best that he could. And he was out there a-mowing. I mean, he was out there. And I said, Lord, I says, if that man can get out there and mow grass with a smile on his face, I'm going to go in Courier Heights Baptist Church tonight, and I'm going to shout her out because I got two good legs, I got two good arms, I've got a body that can just rejoice and run up and down the aisles. I says, Lord, I'm going to give you thanks for what you've done for me and how good you treat me, and Lord, I'm going to do it with a smile, amen. Boy, we come in here, we're padded pews, air conditioning, stained glass, fine sound system, nice lights, cameras, video, and all we can do is just sit here when the God of heaven pours his blessings upon us, one right after another, and we don't have the audacity to give God thanks. God help us. Amen. Y'all okay? I like getting in the crowd. But God's good, is he not? I mean, God's good. I mean, you have a man in here that was in the hospital last Sunday. He's not doing all, his ticker's a little off, but he's sitting right back there, but he's still here in the house of God tonight, is he not? I mean, he says, my ticker ain't really ticking real good today, but thank God it's still a ticking, amen. Amen. I mean, God is so good to us in this church. You've been blessed through the years. I mean, it's been in July 29 of 1999, I surrendered to preach at Camp Zion. It'll be 15 years this year. And out of 15 years, I've been in full-time service 10 of those. And I just get to thinking back of how God has treated my wife and my children and what he does for us and how he takes care of us and how he watches over us and what he gives us. I mean, he gives us things beyond my pay grade, amen. I mean, I don't understand why we drive around what we do, but all I know is God pays for it one right after another. It's him that's a-doing it, amen. I mean, I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm not going to hell. Amen. That's a good thing to get excited over. I'll never feel the flames of hell on these feet at all. I'm saved by the grace of God. Amen. I'm saved. God treats us so good. The church should come alive just thinking, God, I wonder, and I don't know, I haven't been here in a while, but I wonder, when's the last time this church broke out in a testimony service just thanking God for what he's done for us? I wish I had an offering plate. You don't have any offering plates? Can I use these hands? Hallelujah. That's light. Whew, good. But I wonder, those were God's hands waiting for you to put your thanksgiving offering in. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. I mean, there's probably some of y'all in here. I'll get off the mean part here in a minute. We'll move on. But there's probably some folks in here, God's done something for you, and you said, when I get to church, I'm going to thank you for it. And you have yet to do it. I know I'm right. God's probably done something big for somebody this week. You've been asking God to do and asking God to do, and he's done it. And you have failed to give him thanks. The Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Most High. Psalms 92, verse number 1. That word good thing means it's profitable. It's something that's more profitable than the Dow, something more profitable than the housing market. It's something that gets into heaven and it stays. Amen. Y'all with me? Have you stuck your thanksgiving in his hand? Sure has treated me good today. I mean, we're blessed beyond measure. He says, thanksgiving. But then in that thing, it says, and confession. Well, you got to see that Israel and his son's been holding things from him for a long time. And I don't know where they got right, but they had to get right somewhere. So there was that confession. Can I tell you, we've got it good going this way. Right here, going to the altar, great. I know this church uses them, wonderful. But it's this direction that we got it wrong. I'm not saying there's anybody at all against somebody in here, but if you are, you need to get it right. You need to fix that right now because, see, they were fixing to go through a desert and it was going to take all of them to make it through. And if you're quarreling against one another, can I tell you, you'll hinder the work of God. Aaron and Miriam, they're in Numbers when they started to talk against Moses. Do you realize if you go back and you read that, I think it's Numbers chapter 12, the camp stopped for 1 week. Because there was quarreling in the camp. They were arguing against one another. Well, does God only talk to Moses? Cannot God talk to us too? And they were arguing, and God put leprosy on her, put her outside the camp, and the camp didn't move for 7 whole days. I wonder what God may want to do with Fletcher First Baptist, but somebody in here is quarreling against somebody. You used to sit on this side, but because somebody said something, they don't even know what they said. And all of a sudden, you know, you're mad at that person, and now all of a sudden you're sitting over here on this side. And can I tell you, you're grieving the Holy Ghost. Can I tell a personal story on myself? Now, if y'all listen to Swap Shop, you know birthdays are a big thing. All right? We're real good at picking on other people. Real good. I think people call it in so that we'll do that. Well, they called in this pastor's wife, and I know him real well. I know the pastor and his wife, real good friends of me and my wife. I mean, my wife talks to her about daily. Well, she had a birthday. Well, I started to pick on her. Well, they got word back to me that she was crying. Well, I was going to go preach that Sunday morning. I called the pastor up that Sunday morning. I said, Pastor, I said, I need to apologize to your wife. He said, what for? I said, I heard I made her cry the other day, and I want to get it right. Well, he had me. He literally had me over a barrel because she wasn't crying because her feelings was hurt. She was crying because she was laughing so hard. Somebody left out a very important part of that story, amen. And so I called him. I said, Pastor, I said, I just need to apologize to your wife. And he went on. He had me, and he went on and went on and went on, and he finally chuckled, and he broke. I said, what's so funny? He said, I got you. I said, you got me what? He said, she wasn't crying because she was hurt. She was crying because she was laughing so hard the way that you were carrying on about her. And I said, I wish I'd have known that yesterday. But he stopped. He got dead quiet on that phone. I said, are you still there? He said, yeah. He said, it just hit me. He said, you did right. He says, you thought you brought aught against her and you called her up to make it right. I said, well, brother, I'm fixing to mount a pulpit here in about 2 hours. And I need the power of God on my life. If I'm going to preach, I don't want that to be a stumbling block of seeing somebody get saved by the grace of God, somebody getting on fire for God, somebody selling out. I don't want to get up there and feel like I'm climbing hills both ways trying to preach a message. I need God's power on me, and I don't need that odd in my life against somebody else. Can I tell you, that's exactly what needs to happen in our Baptist churches. We got too many crisscrossing, mad at one another. I had a lady come up and apologize to me and said, Brother Jones, she says, I've got to apologize to you. I said, about what? She says, I've been mad at you for 3 months. I said, you have? I didn't know anything about it. She said, yeah, I've been carrying around for 3 months. I said, well, I forgive you, but most of the time you're mad at somebody and they don't even know it. Amen. I wonder in Fletcher First Baptist Church, what's keeping you from worshiping? Unconfessed sins? Mad at your wife? Mad at your husband? Mad at the preacher? Go home and have preacher for lunch? Amen. Don't tell me it doesn't happen. I'm sure it does. Mad at this. Don't like how the Sunday school did Sunday school today. Blah, blah, blah. If we would get this right, there's no telling what God may do in our churches. Because we're fixing to go through a desert. And then it says not only confession, but it says prayer. Boy, I thank God for Pastor Roy. He instilled something in my young ministry when he'd take me up in the back of them mountains. And if there's some young preacher boys here, you need to get with Pastor and ask him to take you up in them mountains. And I thank Brother Pastor Roy for doing that because it's something that God instilled in my life young. And I haven't gotten over it. We'd go back up in them back 40s in Madison County. He could have left me and I'd still been there because I wouldn't know how to get out, amen. He'd take us back on them places where them old cemetery lots are at that only him and just a few select know about. He'd take us up there on his mom and dad's property, and we'd go back up in them mountains and we'd pray. I mean, we'd go to the old family home place. We'd go to this place. We'd go there. I mean, and we'd spend hours just praying and fasting. And it's something that he instilled in my life that I'm still using today on how important prayer is in our life. Amen. If you're going to make it through a desert experience, you better learn how to worship. You better learn how to have a prayer life. You better get on your knees and get a hold of the horns of the altar. You better get into the throne room of grace and get that help in a time of need. I'm telling you, you're going to need it, but it seems like we've got something that is so powerful, stronger than any nuclear bomb that anybody can build. It's something that we know somebody that can turn this world, stop the sun, and if we can get a hold of God, there's no telling what might happen. What's your prayer life like? I talk to him every day. I'll go down the road with my wife and children there, and I forget that they're in the car. And I'll just start talking to God out loud. And Lisa's like, What did you say? I said, oh, I'm sorry. I was talking to God. I just want to talk to him and commune with him. Everywhere I go and watching Dr. J. Harold Smith, great man of God, and his work is carrying on even today. And when had the privilege of riding home with them one afternoon, and Pastor Roy was driving, and I got to sit right behind the driver's seat, and Dr. J. Harold Smith was sitting in the front row and the passenger seat. And I'd never gotten over it. And as I was watching him, I was very intrigued by him. His lips were always moving. And when you talked, he would talk to you. And when he got done talking to you, his lips would go back to moving. It's because he was talking to God. He got tapped in to something. He knows that a prayer life is very important in his life. Fletcher, you still praying like you used to? Still having your night prayers? Remember when we used to have 24-hour prayers before revivals in the old church? People would sign up, come in the late night hours. I'd pick them late night middle hours because it seemed like God meet with you, sacrificing your sleep to go meet with him. But I wonder, how's the prayer life in your home? Mom, how's your prayer life with your children? Dad, how's your prayer life with your family? We meet around that altar twice a day in my family, twice a day, in the morning and then in the evening. And even when I'm on mission trips, thank God for phones, amen. And she'll put that phone on speakerphone and set it, and they'll gather around that phone. And I may be in Alaska or wherever I may be, and I'll get on my knees, and they'll get there, and they'll gather around that phone, and we'll pray as a family, even though I'm not there. Prayer is important in our life. Prayer is important in the church's life. How's your prayer life? How's your thanksgiving? How's your confession? How's your adoration? How is it, church? Somebody could be going through that desert, and you're not prepared to go through it. So we see that he came and he worshiped God. Abraham worshiped God in Genesis 22:5. Job worshiped God when all the world was coming out around him in Job 1:20. And Job worshiped God. Moses worshiped God there in Exodus. And you read the book of Revelation, and I think it's in the 21st chapter. It says, worship God. Amen. Worship God. First thing I see is we need to worship God. Second thing we need to do, this is my hardest point that I struggle with, is wait on God. I struggle with this. I'm such an impatient person. Boy, I don't pray for patience. If you want to pray for it, have at it. I'm not praying for it, amen, because I know what it takes to get it, and I don't want to go through that. But I struggle waiting on God. And Israel stopped off at Beersheba and offered a sacrifice. In other words, he prayed. And in verse number 2, I believe it is, and it says, in a vision in the night. God did not talk to Israel right away. He didn't stop right then when he did. It was a vision in the night. And boy, I'll tell you what's hurt our society is this instant microwave living that we've got today. We think God works that way, and he can work that way. But God is seldom early, but he's never late. God's always right on time. And there's things that God will that you'll pray about and you'll ask God to do. And I'm sure that there's some grandmas and grandpas in heaven that they prayed years ago and they never seen that prayer answered on this side. But boy, when they got over there and God answered that prayer, I often wondered if God don't get them and says, I answered that prayer. He's met with them in a vision of the night. And can I tell you, church, there's probably somebody in here, you've been begging God to do something and begging God to do something, and you're almost ready to give up. Well, I go to church, great. I tithe, wonderful. I'm faithful, tremendous. I serve you, Lord, great. I travel up and down the roads, Lord. I drive sometimes 3 and 4 hours a time, Lord, for you. Wonderful. But it doesn't obligate God to answer you right away. What is it, church, that you've been asking God to do? You used to pray with it with fervency. You used to believe God's going to do this, and very rarely does it get mentioned anymore. It's like you've given up on it. What is it that you used to say, God, we want you to do this. God, we want you to show something big and miraculous. God, I want you to do something. You used to come to the altar as a church and pray, and you've given up on it. God doesn't always answer right away. It was a long year when God called me into evangelism. God has a sense of humor. And he says, great, but you can't tell no one. I was so ready to go the day he called me into evangelism. Over a year ago, I was like, Lisa, I want to go. 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 The Lord says, just wait. Just wait. It's not time yet. Just wait. And it was a miserable, long year. And then when God says, it's time, you didn't have to ask me twice. I mean, I went to that altar right then, and I says, I'm making her public. Surrendered to full-time evangelism. And there's been some things me and my wife's been praying about for over a year because we knew that God was fixing to call us into evangelism. And the car that we had, I knew it wouldn't travel all the miles that we've traveled already. And we knew that, and we know we can't afford it. And I says, Lord, you're going to supply a car. Well, I saw a car on the internet. And I said, I got a little arc off of it. And I've been praying for a black one. So that helped. Amen. It's a Ford. That didn't help. Amen. God's got a sense of humor. Amen. And I felt an arc on it, and I knew we couldn't afford it. And so the lady that worked there, I called her. She said, we don't charge preachers profit on cars. I said, well, hallelujah. I said, I'm a preacher. And she said, what are you looking at? And I gave her that ridiculously low price of how much I could pay a month. And I mean, it was, if you're going to do it right, amen. And they said, well, let me call you back. I said, okay. She called me back and she said, we can do that. I said, excuse me? I said, you can do what? She said, well, we're going to fix you up. She said, we got it fixed. I said, all right. Well, hallelujah. Well, God gave us that car, and not only did he do that, but he paid the first year payments already. Already paid. Sitting at the house. God's already give us the first year's payments already sitting in a drawer. I pray there ain't no fire. There is. I'm ruined. Amen. But I'm telling you, God done that, and I waited on him to do what only he could do. And when he fixes things up and you trust God to do something, it's amazing what God will do if you'll just wait on him. Amen. I just trust God that he's able to do that which is exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. Psalms 27:14, it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 41, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Amen. That little baby, how old is she? How much? 4 months? 4 years? 40 years? How old is she? 4. You let her cry. She'll get the heart of daddy in a quick time. Will she not? I mean, when my girls cried, they cry right now. You better believe old daddy's a-coming. Amen. That cry of that young girl will get the attention of mom and dad in a hurry. Will it not? Do you know my cry will get the attention of the God of this universe in a hurry? I mean, the God who holds this earth into right in its axis, I can get a hold of him at any time. But wait on the Lord. Psalms, or Isaiah 40, verse number 31, I believe it is. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And then thirdly, he worshiped, he waited. But then this is a big one. He got a word from God. A word from God. It said here, he says, and God spake unto Israel. He got that word. Boy, I'm big on God's word. I mean, when I got something big in my life, I said, Lord, I need a verse. I do that on a lot of things. Lord, I need a verse. I need to know that this is your will. And when he called me into evangelism, the verse that he gave me was Genesis 45, 24, the chapter just above this. And it says, see that you fall not out by the way. In other words, stay on that course I put you on. And God will give you that word. But a lot of people do things, and they get ahead of God without no word. We convince ourselves that it's the perfect will of God. I mean, it's easy to do. I bought a Jeep. That thing was possessed of the devil from the day I owned it. But I just knew it was the will of God to have it. But the thing was possessed. It was broke down more than I drove it. I hated the thing. I threatened to blow it up, but I'm afraid it would blow it up my house. I mean, it was just one of them things that I just said, Lord, I must have bought that thing out of your will. And when I traded that in, she gave me top trade. I called her back. I said, ma'am, I don't want to do that to you. I'll pay you back on that car. I says, I robbed you. She said, no, it's fine. I was like, glory. When they come and got that car, they says, wave bye to it. I said, wave bye to it. I said, I'm glad to see that thing go, amen. But get a verse. Get that word from God. Well, we do things without God even giving us a word, and we convince ourselves that he's doing it. In reality, he didn't say go or not go. He didn't say stay or wait. And then fourthly, I got to hurry along because I'll be here. My last point's a long one. And then we see not only that, but we see the word of God. But then we see that with God. He says in verse number 3, he says, and God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he says, here am I. And he says, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt. Boy, I'm glad that God will go with you. Amen. I need God to go with me. I need him to be with me. I need to be with God. And there's a lot of times I'm glad that we're going to go through this, just like Psalms 20 or Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say you're going to walk around it. He says you're going to walk through it, amen. But it didn't stop there, amen. I'm glad of that verse. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, amen. He was with them. He says, don't worry, Israel. I'm going with you. I'm going with you. But I want to hit this last point real quick, and I'm done. We see the working of God. What do you mean by that? The working of God. Well, God sends us through these deserts. And a lot of times, they're not for my benefit. Do what? Hang with me. I'm about to show you something. God showed this to me about 3 weeks ago when he was giving this to me. Because I got to questioning God. I said, God, why? Why did they have to go through that desert? 70 souls had to walk through that desert. Joseph had better means to go to them. Why did not Joseph go to them? Why did not Joseph, just one person, go see them? Why did they have to go through that desert? Well, we see the peace of God. He says, fear not. Boy, when God tells you to fear not, there's that peace that comes with it. Boy, my youngest daughter, Hannah, last year, it was back in the fall, I think it was in September of last year, she was having some stomach issues. And she was having a lot of pain, and we were just watching it real close, and we let it go for a couple days just in case, you know, well, it could be this and it could be that. We'll see what happens. Boy, as those days progressed, the worst it got. And it was on during a week, and I think it was on a Saturday, and Lisa called me up and says, I'm going to just take Hannah to the urgent care. I says, that's fine. We need to figure out what's going on. Well, Lisa called me back, and they says, we got to go to the emergency room right away. They said, they got to have a CAT scan right now. I says, I'll drop what I'm doing. And I says, I'm on my way. Well, when I got there, of course, going, my mind is reeling. Because here I have a precious young daughter. And I'm thinking, cancer? I'm a dad, all right? I'm a preacher, but I'm a dad as well, amen? And I have thoughts, just like y'all do. And I thought, well, it could be cancer. You know, an aneurysm in the stomach. My mind was rolling the worst. And she went in there, and as a dad, you got to be strong. Even though I'm breaking on the inside, you got to be strong. And we got her in the emergency room, and they were coming to get her for a CAT scan. And, of course, the big eyes that she has, and her chin was a-quivering. She says, Daddy, I'm scared. Well, I couldn't show the emotion because Daddy was scared as well. I was fearful because all this stuff was rolling through my mind of what the potential it could be. And I was sitting there running this, and I had to be strong for my daughter. And I had to be real spiritual about this, even though I was breaking inside. I said, honey, it's going to be okay. And I wrapped her up in my arms, got her up on my lap, and I wrapped her up in my arms, and I just started to love on her. And all of a sudden in that room, that emergency room, as I was in that emergency room, I was looking across the way where my daddy died. And I was says, and I got to look into that room, I says, God, you're just not the God of that room. I need you to be the God in this room. And the same peace that you did over there, Lord, I need you to do it over here again. And God sort of just moved into that emergency room. And I'm telling you, the peace of God come all over me that night, that day. I just held her and loved on her and kissed on her old forehead. Her tears were running down off her cheeks. And I mean, God moved in and he told me, just like he whispered right in my ear, he says, I got this covered. And I said, honey, God's got it covered. It's going to be okay. And I put her down off my lap and I leaned back in that emergency room. And there was that trim board that went around that emergency room. And I took it, and where he took that stone and made it a pillar. I made that piece of wood a pillow, and yet it was a pillar at the same time. And I was leaning, all to a sudden I went out. I mean, I slept the best in an emergency room. You better believe her. I went right back. I slept like a baby inside that emergency room. The peace of God was so real inside that room that day. God says, fear not, fear not, fear not. I've got this handled. Amen. And I slept, and I woke up, and I said, Lisa, did I take a nap? She said, did you take a nap? I said, for how long? She said, you've slept for 40 minutes. I said, you're kidding. She said, no. That's what the peace of God will do in the midst of a storm. And then not only that, we see the peace of God, but then we see the presence of God. He says, I'll go with thee. And God was there. But I want to look at this final thought. And when I got to asking God, why the desert? He says, it's easy. It's in the scriptures. I said, all right, Lord. And I got to reading through that. And if you read your Bible, he says, there. Am I right on that? I believe it's about verse 4. Where are you at? Is this a Schofield? This ain't a Schofield. Somebody please buy him a Schofield. He says, for I will there, verse number 3, make of thee a great nation. But you got to get there. In other words, you got to get through the deserts to do that. Now, can I, Can I have a little liberty here, brother? Do you mind? I'm about done. I know it's late, Father's Day. You probably steal stuff from the barbecue. I understand that. Can she come up? Will she come on her own? Carly, would you come up here? Or if Mama needs to bring her, bring her. Where's the other children? You got three right there. Come here. They're shy now. They talked to me and smiled at me about an hour ago. Now they won't even look at me. Would y'all come here, please? I want y'all to, we're going to debut you today, okay? Is that all right? You do have a good Father's Day? That's good. They say if you smile at them, don't turn around, but they say if you smile at them, they'll smile back at you. I've been trying it for 45 minutes. It hasn't worked yet. So come here. Come here. Turn around. Smile real big. See, I told you. Your smile must be a whole lot better than mine. Amen? Can you turn around? Can you look at this pretty crowd? They're pretty. You going to stand right there? That's fine. But she's catching on. There she is. She's almost there, folks. Eyeball to eyeball, Mom. You got to keep her attention. But he says, there will I make of thee a great nation. It wasn't for Jacob's benefit to go through that desert. Hey, I missed you. You got to come here. Come on. Please. Would you, pretty please? I'll come get you. I promise you. I'll carry you. That's all right. Don't do that. She'll cry. Whew, don't want that. That's all right. Just smile. Can you smile at me? Thank you. But it's for these children's sake. Now, if you're grumbling, well, I don't know why I'm going through this. Well, I don't understand why me. Well, why not you? Well, I just don't understand. I mean, I do all the things I'm supposed to do. Being a Christian is not a bed of roses. Wished it was. I wish it was just when you get saved, no troubles. But there's troubles. There's decisions in your life that you're not going to understand. But I want my girls to know when troubles do come in daddy's life, and they're coming, and when troubles come in mama's life, I want my girls to know that there's a God in heaven. And I want them to know that there's a God in heaven that can help you get you through any situation that you have in your life. And when they get older and on their own, I want them to say, I had a daddy that loved the Lord. I had a daddy that trusted God. And I had a daddy that went through troubles and trials. But I had a daddy that trusted God, that was able to do that which is exceeding abundantly above. And I had a daddy that just followed God no matter what took in his life. He come out that other side. And I want my girls to experience the power of the Holy Ghost. I want my girls, it's my prayer, God, fill my girls full of the Holy Ghost. Let them experience you, God. Let them know that you're real, God. And if it means me going through a desert so that they can see daddy come out the other side, see the peace of God, see the presence of God, but yet they can say, hey, I can trust him just like my daddy did. I wonder. If I was to bring my girls up, put them on the stand, and testify against their daddy, I hope that they would say, my daddy puts his faith and his trust in God. Fletcher, I know, I love y'all. And I read them obituary columns. And I've seen some folks that I loved get promoted to glory. And I'm happy for them. But I sure do miss not seeing them here tonight. But his children need to see you trust in God. I know that there's some people in here who've made some decisions that you don't like, that if you could change it, you would. But your grandchildren need to see the power of God in their grandma's life, in their grandpa's life, so that they could go to the other side because they were going to Joseph. But if we're here grumbling and complaining, Fletcher, about the storms that's coming in our life, all we're teaching these young folks is to grumble and complain. That's not fair to them. It's not fair to them. Because God says, I will make of thee a great nation. Church, there's no telling what God will do with Fletcher First Baptist Church when these storms come and these deserts come, that it may touch the hearts of these young folks. And I don't know who, I pray they're all saved, but I don't know. But if they're not, if you're not showing them you can trust God, don't expect them to trust God. Moses went through the desert. Philip went to the desert for one. Which one are you kicking away? Because when those times come, you're saying, I don't want to go. See, Jacob, Israel, had a choice. He didn't have to go. He could have stayed right where he was at. He could have just been right there in his miserable condition. And he could live the rest of his life out. But because he went, God was with him. Israel multiplied by numbers innumerable because of one man, Jacob, says, Lord, I'll go for my grandchildren and my great-great-grandchildren and my great-great-great-great-grandchildren. And I'm glad that he did, because, see, he went, it affected my life. Christ come out of the tribe of Judah. And because of what Jacob did, he affected my life. And now I'm saved by the grace of God. Because of Jacob going through that desert and letting God work in his life. Church, where are you at? It got real quiet. But I'm wondering, as you look at these beautiful children, what are you holding off from them? What are you keeping from them to take this church further and make it a great nation? Are you just gathering here just to meet and say, I attended church on Sunday night? I didn't come just to meet. I come to worship. So number one, we need to worship. Number two, we need to wait. Number three, we need a word of God. Number four, we see God with us. And then number five, we see the working of God in those deserts. Let us stand. Thank you. I appreciate that. Y'all go back to your mama. Can you go to your mama? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor Roy, I'm going to give it to you. But I wonder, unusual message, but what's God been trying to do that you've been kicking against? God's been wanting to do something here. And you may be the very one that God wants to use to do something great and mighty at Fletcher First Baptist Church. But you're saying, no, I just don't want to do that. Well, I'll give you about four good reasons why you should.
It's for those children. Maybe there's somebody, you're right there at it. You quit worshiping God because you're afraid of what He's about to ask you to do. What? Do that? Yeah. See, I figured this out. Everything we do has a counteraction to it. Because of Adam, sin entered into the world. But because of what Jesus Christ did, you can be saved. Mom and Dad, what you're holding out from God to do in your life, you may be affecting your children's children and their children's children because you just won't go with God. I'd hate that there'd be somebody in this church holding back from these children. I hope it's not you. Because see, I need some children, my children. See, this is an Ebenezer stone for me. And I took my girls a couple years ago, a year and a half ago, in my old church, and showed them where God changed Daddy's life. And He has. But I want them to know that they can trust God to go through that desert. Brenda, would you please come play a verse, whatever the Lord's laid on your heart. Church, I hope it's not the one in here that you're holding back from this church and you'd have to stand before God with that and have to answer for what you're holding back from these children. Please follow God, even if it's in that desert. Pastor Roy, it's yours.
Thank you, Brother Robert. Many of us here could say we've been through those deserts, but just because you have passed through them one time don't mean the only time you'll ever go through one. And even when I was in that desert experience, Brother Robert, when I first came here, I had that sickness and peritonitis, stayed in the hospital 35 days. I wasn't complaining to God. I wasn't dissatisfied, even though I was hurting, thought I was going to die. I was crying and said, Lord, thank you for allowing me. I was able to do that. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Thank you that you allowed me. You could use any preacher you want to, but you allowed me to go through this during the time of it in the hospital dying. And God says, as soon as I get you through and your church through, I will restore your health as before. I was 51. It's been 20 years almost. And for 17 years, I did not even have a common cold. He not only restored my health, He gave me better health than I had before. Still give me good health. Well, it's not so bad going through the desert if He's with you. And He was. And He will be. Altar's open. You mind the Lord tonight. I'm sure God's touched all of your hearts at some point and all the points of the message and told you what you ought to do. Be faithful. Be obedient. Confession, if you need to make it, to God first, and then if He tells you to somebody, that's proper. God's using this message tonight to help prepare us to go through the desert. You say, well, a desert experience a long time in the future. May not be. It could be tonight. Patience is important. I've got a lot of faults. Don't have time to tell you all of them. But patience is not one of my problems. Thank God. He's given me so much trust, I can lay right down in the middle of the desert experience and say, thank you, Lord. I know you're going to work it out. Trust. Whatever your needs are tonight, please come. You can trust Him. He knows what He's doing. He knows what you need. What you need to go through to get you where you need to be. And the beautiful part is, I love it, Brother Robert, he will be with you. Thank God he speaks. And when he speaks, you'll never forget it. Thank God, thank God. Lord Jesus, we bless your name. Hallowed be thy name. Exalted is your name. We thank you, Father, that you have given us your precious word tonight through your servant. And help us, God, to receive it and be willing to spend and be spent for your kingdom's sake. And we love you and we thank you for what you have done and for what you are doing. And give us the trust we need to know you're going to see us all the way through. And we thank you, Father, because children are watching, are observing how we handle situations. And they're going to remember when they go through those experiences. Don't let them hear bickering, complaining, talking about one another. Oh, God, don't let that come out of anyone's mouth, I pray. Thank you for this night, for all you've done, for what you want to do in our hearts in these days. Lord, I pray for Brother Robert and Sister Lisa and these precious children. Lord, you know every path they're going to take. You've already ordered it. Even the appointments he doesn't have on his calendar are already on yours. And help him be patient in it. And be with him and bless him and encourage him. In Jesus' name, amen. If the ushers will please come, we're going to receive the evening offering.